This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour with you here on WMIE talking about Psalm 69. And we've gone through that. We've talked about the realities and the challenges that David was facing. But today we're going to be starting to talk about the breakthrough that he is expecting and what's going to happen as a result of that. I want to, before we dive into that, I want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air are friends of ours, Dennis and Carla and their team. They have a business here in Brevard County called Wyrick Air. It's based in Rockledge, but their service area covers all of Brevard County, all the way down to Barefoot Bay, all the way up into the Mims Scottsmore area. They work primarily in air conditioning and electrical issues, but they're not only friends of the of ours and supporters of the Refresh Radio program. They listen to the Refresh Radio program, and they said, "Hey, don't forget we do heating as well." And so we are getting to that time of year where your heater may need a little bit of TLC, and you know, that first time you turn the heater on, and all, if it's an electric heater and all the dust that's built up on the coils, it smells horrible and things like that. But if you turn your heat on and your heat doesn't come on, you can contact the folks at Wyrick Air. They do that as well. They've been handling problems like that for over 50 years. They work in residential settings primarily, light commercial settings as well, and provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible and at an affordable price. Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida, and he brings kingdom values not only to the pulpit, he brings it to his business as well. Their phone number, should you find yourself in need of their services, 321-632-9538. Their license numbers are CAC 182-1309. A great resource if you're looking for a honest and upright, forthright company to deal with that is going to can resolve your issues. If something needs to be replaced, they'll tell you. If it can be fixed, they'll tell you. They're not looking to gouge you. They are looking to make sure that you have a good experience with them. Know a number of their customers, and it is something that they work very hard to represent the kingdom of God. So thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. We love and appreciate you, and thank you for your help here with the Refresh Radio program. Psalm 69, to verse number 29 is where we're going to start. I'll read all the way through the end of the chapter, which is verse number 36. It says, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your heart shall live, for the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them, for God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. Also, the descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it." We concluded yesterday's program with, I am poor and sorrowful and in pain, it says in the Amplified. Today, David's response to that current reality that he was facing was, let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. One of the statements that I like to make about God that contrasts him with the devil is, the devil sets people up to fail. God sets us up to succeed. And whenever we find ourselves in a perilous situation, like David has described repeatedly here in Psalm 69, he never looks at that as it's going to be the final situation that he faces. Instead, he says, God is going to come with his salvation. He's going to deliver me from this mess, and he's going to set me up on high. A lot of people live their life trying to do everything in their power to climb the ladder of success. And sometimes that means stabbing people in the back, not literally, but metaphorically, you know, where other people's well-being is of no concern to them. They just want to get to the top. And I can tell you that a lot of people who get to the top do so at tremendous personal expense, relationally, health-wise, emotionally. A lot of people who struggle getting all the way to the top only to find out that it is a very lonely place to be. And even though there are some trappings of success that comes with it, ultimately it is not satisfying at all. I want to be in the place where God sets me. One of the things that I tell people, and I've told my kids, I've told our church for years, is being right in the center of God's will is the safest and most content place that you will ever be. Where God set you. My daughter and son-in-law, my daughter's been working some of the church office responsibilities remotely since May, but her and her family have joined our ministry team, and we're excited. Now we have nursery, we have toddler children's church, we have older kids children's church, and plus we have the adult service all on Sunday morning. And so we're very excited about all of those, you know, ministries that are going on. And when she moved down, when they all moved down, they're praying for their house to sell up there so they can buy one down here. Right now we're one big happy family, and really enjoying the time, even though it's not ideal for everybody. We're enjoying making up for lost time as they've been up there for about 5 years. But when she came into her office, she started setting her office up in a way that was going to help her to be successful. And she's big on plants. I can't wait to introduce her to Treasure with Treasure Your Landscape. They both have a love for plants, and so I'm really looking forward to introducing them. But one day she was helping me. I was having some car issues, and she was transporting me back. And when we got at home, she grabbed plants and she took them back in her office, because she was wanting to set them up in her office, so that they would thrive. They wouldn't just look nice, but she knew what type of atmosphere, hydration, and all that sort of stuff. And so she's got a gifting for plants that I don't have. I killed my wife and I killed an air fern. So, you know, you have to work pretty hard at that. Orchids don't do well around us. You know, Weeds tend to thrive, but that's about the extent of it. But she set it up so that it would succeed. And I will tell you that God sets his affections upon us, and he sets us strategically where he would have us to serve. He sets us up on high. And you've been set up by God. You've been set up for victory. You've been set up for salvation. You've been set up for empowerment. You've been set up for contentment and fulfilling his God-given purpose. So focus on what God is setting you up for, not what the devil is setting you up for. Verse number 30 is David's response. David has a resolve to praise the Lord. He said, I will praise the name of God with a song. We live in such a comparative society that people try and compare what they are able to do with what others are gifted to do, and spend hours and hours honing their skills and refining their techniques to where they are really, really good at what they do. And so it would be really ridiculous for me to compare my golfing skills in my 60s to the golfing skills of someone who practices 80 hours a week because that's their profession. So they're younger than what I am. They've been training longer than I have, and they have resources that I don't have. Plus, but that's not my purpose. Golfing is my pleasure. It's not my purpose. My purpose is to lead as many people to thrive in their relationship with Jesus and introduce others to Jesus as much as possible. So I'm able to do some things that maybe they're not able to do. I say that because a lot of people say, well, I can't sing as well as so-and-so. I can't sing as well as this person. I don't care how well your singing sounds to my ears. I just want to encourage you to use your voice to praise God. Praise him with songs that you're familiar with. Praise him with songs that, you know, maybe God drops in your spirit for just a season. You might not remember it, but God will never forget it. And so he says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And so that term magnify, when I'm producing the study guides for Wednesday night, one of the things that I do for our congregation is I try to produce the study guide with a font size that doesn't need a magnifying glass for you to be able to read it. A magnifying glass or magnifying lens doesn't change the reality. It just changes the perspective. And so I like to enlarge the reality so people don't have to work so hard to see it. But the thing about God is immeasurable. So when David says here, and will magnify him with thanksgiving, he's not talking about changing the size of God, but instead he is talking about altering his perspective of God, where God may have seemed very far away when in reality he's very, very close. But when we magnify the Lord with thanksgiving, it changes our perspective to where we see that God is bigger than our problems. He's greater than our enemies. He changes our prison to a place of victory. And David says, I'm going to sing praises. I'm going to give thanks. And I'm going to come away from, you know, all of this trouble and sorrow and pain that I've been experiencing. I'm going to change that into an experience of thanksgiving, that I'm going to come away with a perspective of God, that I see that he's greater than I'd ever seen him before. Can I ask you this question? I'm going to anyway. has your understanding of God increased, because it should be in a perpetual state of magnification? A lot of times, the older people get, we start putting ceilings where God didn't intend ceilings to be. And so a lot of times in churches, you will see younger people start taking up roles that older people used to. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say this, because life got busier. Or this, I've done all of those things when I was younger, and I'm tired. Believe me, I understand tired. But I believe that there are a place for dreams and visions, old men and young men, young women and not so young women. I believe that there is a place for all of us, that we can see God magnified in whatever season of life we are in. So if you've ever had someone that has told you your demise is imminent, I want you to change your perspective and say, you know, God was faithful with the lion. He was faithful with the bear. He was faithful with Goliath. He was faithful with Saul. He was faithful when I was in the Philistine camp. He has always been faithful, and I'm going to see him faithful once again. In other words, God is going to just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And as my life draws towards the threshold of stepping into eternity, I want my vision of Jesus to be the biggest it's ever been. His size doesn't change, but our perspective does. So if right now, in the midst of your problems, God seems very distant, very small, I want to encourage you, start praising him and start giving him thanks, because what that does is it magnifies God in your sight. Your problems get smaller and God gets bigger. And that has tremendous alterations to our perspective. Verse number 31 says, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull which has horns and hooves. And so he says here, praising God, magnifying him with thanksgiving, that is more pleasing to God than sacrificial giving. Now, I want to share this with you. It is not an either or situation. It is a both and situation. So at Merit Assembly of God, when we open up our service with worship, giving is an extension of that worship. It is not a bill that we are paying. It is a privilege and an honor to be able to declare to God through our giving, you have blessed us thus far. We honor you. We honor you with our tithe. We bless you with the offering. And we want it to be known we are trusting you with our financial future. Say, how can you do that? Well, a lot of times people say, look, I don't even have enough money to pay my bills. And I want to, and I do, I lay this challenge out. God says that you can test him in this, you can prove him in this. And if you will start honoring the Lord, even in your financial realm, praise him with song, yes. Give him thanks, yes. But also, we are called to live a life of obedience. And I still believe that the devourer will be rebuked. And I believe that God will still open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't have room enough to contain. I live that. I heard a story one time where a person said that, you know, when they were younger, God had asked them to trust God beyond what was naturally reasonable. And they said, and I did that, and God blessed me. And after the service, a person came up and said, could you do it again? And I know of people who've done that repeatedly, but I can also tell you this, that's a reality we've lived for a long time. I have never found a better way to live than honoring God, not just in word and deed, but honoring God with my finances, with my time, with my life. I haven't found a better way because I've never been able to outgive God. There's been some sacrificial giving done on a regular basis. And I can tell you this, God still is the God who's more than enough. Not just barely enough, not just almost enough, but he's the God of more than enough. Verse 32, I'm just going to start off with the first part of that verse, and then we will pick up with the second part of verse 32 tomorrow. It says this, the humble shall see this and be glad. David's statement here is basically stating this reality. I'm going through a horrific trial. I'm on the verge of being overwhelmed. I don't have anything natural to be able to stand on. I am in real trouble. I've got too many enemies. I've got problems at home. I'm facing consequences from my own foolishness and from my own sins. I don't want to be a stumbling block spiritually to those who may be watching. I'm crying out to God. I acknowledge that God is merciful. I acknowledge that he hears my prayer, that he has a time in which he's going to answer. He will deliver me. He will set me up to succeed. He's going to deliver me from my sorrow and my pain. He's going to set me up to succeed. I am going to praise him in the midst of the storm, not just at the conclusion of the storm. I'm going to give him thanks in advance, not just waiting until after the event, and if I remember, then I'm going to say thanks, thank you, God. And he says this, there are people who are watching. David describes them here as the humble. People who do not have the greatest socioeconomic status, but they continue to remember that they are a needy people and their greatest need is God. He says, there are people who are watching me in my storm, who when they hear my song of praise, when they watch as my perception of Jesus increases to a greater dimension than I've ever had before, that it's not glory days in my past, but it is the glory of the coming season that is going to surpass the glories that I've already known. He says, when the humble see this, it's going to be a testimony to them that's going to cause them to rejoice and be glad. Because if God does it for me, he does it for you, it's testimony to them that if they choose that same covenant relationship, if they don't let the problems get the last word, but they trust in God's word instead, it's going to build their faith. And the next thing you know, they are taking a stand for Jesus where they are as bold as a lion, where their faith says, he has brought me through trials before, and he is going to bring me through this. This is going to result in praise and thanksgiving just the way that every other trial I have faced. So I want to encourage you, when you go through difficult times, don't go through it with moaning and groaning and murmuring and complaining. But instead, I want to encourage you, make a statement of faith. Make a plea to God, a cry out to God, and say, God, my faith was in you before this problem. It's going to be in you after this problem, but it's also going to be in you during this problem. And God, I pray that Jesus will change people's lives, that they will see what you've done on my behalf and believe that you're going to do it on their behalf, and they will also have a testimony that brings praise to the name of the Lord. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.